from the Gator Grapplers Hall of Fame in Ponchatoula, Louisiana, it's the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. 30 minutes of no-holds-barred discussion about the exciting and dangerous world of professional alligator wrestling. With your hosts, the eldest of the Ringhausen Brothers, renowned herpetologist, insurance magnate, a man's man who can skin an alligator while wearing a white suit and not get a drop on him, retired professional reptile rodeo clown, Peg Leg Greg Ringhausen. Also featuring retired statesman, mentor to young attorneys, the legal representative to the International Brotherhood of Professional Alligator Wrestlers, and also the eldest and best dressed of the Ringhausen Brothers, Richard J. Ringhausen. And last and least, the six-time world welterweight alligator wrestling champion, winner of the silver medal in alligator wrestling at the 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona, Spain, and inventor of the non-returning boomerang, the youngest of the Ringhausen Brothers, and the star of your show, Alan Ringhausen.
How about that?
Not bad. Not bad.
I'm so glad you could be here today. There you go. Well, you don't have to worry about that. It'll just
No big deal. No big deal.
I just enjoy the band that played the background music on that. Were you part of that, Rick?
Yes.
Yeah.
Good. So you know...
Thank you. I can hear myself now a little bit better.
You know, I told the story, or told you guys about tripping over the gate in the dark and smashing my mouth
against... You told us.
Right.
I haven't told anybody else.
Told our...
Okay, well, I wake up in the middle of... Well, I'm putting the dogs away at nighttime. I'd fallen asleep on the couch is the way this works. Sue had already gone to bed.
At 6 o'clock. And now you're waking up at midnight. Okay.
And put the dogs to bed, turn the lights off. Well, there's a gate, dog gate, between the kitchen and dining room. That I've stepped over.
It's only a foot high.
I know. Trust me, I know. I didn't.
Your listeners don't.
I didn't have any qualms about stepping over it in the dark. Other than that, it turns out that my black guitar case was on the other side of it. And when I stepped on the black guitar case, it flipped and caused me to lose my balance. And I had my other foot over the gate and popped the other gate out, smashed my face against the dining room table. Cut a darn nice notch in it with my teeth.
Two.
And bashed my head against the wall.
Did Sue come running in? Oh, my God, look at the table.
That was later.
family heirloom.
Look what you did.
No, I said I went over and, you know, I was covered with blood and didn't know if I had busted my teeth out or not at that point, but turns out not. But I went into the back room where she was asleep and gently tapped her on the shoulder and said, Sue, I think I need to go to the hospital and get stitches. She says,
Well, go ahead.
What are you waking me up for? Can't you drive? You got a driver's license.
Keys are in the car.
No, I fell against the wall and cried like a little boy, and she didn't even wake up. That would be alcohol involved, I'm sure.
Oh, whoa.
Wow.
So, you know, I wake her up.
Allie,
because, you know, I'm dripping blood, and I say, I gotta go to the hospital. I said, are you able to drive? She said, yes.
When you were asking whether or not she was able to drive, was it because, are you awake enough? Do you need extra time, or was there some question in the back of your mind about her actual legal capability?
Are we going to get a DUI in addition to going to the hospital?
That's what I was looking for.
But no. Any event, so I go to the doctor today because it's been like dripping, you know, just liquid for the last week now. And doctor says, oh, don't worry, it's just saliva leaking out through the hole.
Wow.
Because when I fell, I punched a hole clean through the bottom of my mouth with the tooth.
That's what makes it a great story, Rick.
Yep.
And I can whistle now if I breathe in and out through the hole.
A two-tone whistle. Can you do a two-tone whistle?
No.
Covering up one hole and then...
That's with my belly button.
Oh, that's a little too much. Oh, okay.
That's not what I was thinking.
The whistling belly button.
Whistling out of something else right now.
Whoa. So, any food you can't eat now? Or is everything going
down? My diet came back and said,
your diet, Rick, I've got you pudding and ice cream and chocolate milk.
Applesauce?
And applesauce.
Oh, thank God, nothing different.
So nothing's changed on that front.
Rick's soft diet.
It's practice for when I'm really old and lose my teeth and my mind.
Actually, those are all foods that we could force feed into you with like a big syringe puncher, like they do with a horse.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah, yeah.
Is that what they feed a horse with?
Sometimes.
Well, they can.
If they give a horse a big pill, you
use a tube.
Right.
You put it up its nose.
And then shove it down its...
But you don't blow until you're ready because the horse will blow back.
And it goes down the wrong way.
And you end up swallowing the pill.
It goes into the wrong animal.
What's the biggest pill you ever had to take?
That horse pill that got blown back into me.
Had to take.
What's the biggest pill a doctor ever prescribed for you?
Gosh, I don't know. I've never measured any of them, Rick.
Neither. I've never had one I couldn't swallow or anything I thought was gigantic.
I think I've had some that when you get home from the pharmacy and open the bottle, you go, holy smokes, I got to take two of these.
Wow.
That's pretty.
No, what if it gets crossways in there, wedged or something like that?
That could be dangerous.
I don't take any medicine or vitamins or anything. I don't swallow anything.
What?
We crush it up?
I take zero medicine.
You don't take any medicines?
None. Ever.
Greg, do you take any medicines?
Look at him. One prescription. I just have one prescription.
You guys are kidding me.
No.
But that's not going in his mouth.
God.
Lisa has to go to him with a tube.
No, we're not talking about that.
No.
Little waxy. No, nothing like that either.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Jerry, give dog a pill.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
How many different medications are you taking right now? Do you have one of those plastic containers that says Sunday through Saturday?
I have one with a compartment that says Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, Monday morning. There's like 14 compartments on it.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of time before he has one that's hourly.
Ding, ding. Pill. Which one I take now?
No, my goal is to take fewer pills.
Yeah?
That's a good goal.
Who was it that was
taking? Yeah, won't you start acting weird?
Durr. A couple of those heart pills. I just got to take heart pills.
I had a guy who went through different medical issues and told me that at one point in time, he was taking 27 different pills per day.
Prescriptions?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, you know, every time you
that
go...
That can't be good for
every
you,
time
right?
you go to a doctor, you know, they'll prescribe something different for you. And you go to a whole bunch of different doctors, you end up with a whole different...
Well, here's the thing.
Pills.
There's a reaction for every pill you take. So yeah. I can't imagine... All the
start
different
combining
reactions.
Things.
Yes. That can't be good.
That's like a potpourri of.
And that doesn't there. Count the ones that you buy off your friend in the street.
That.
We can get legal now. Some gummies.
Did you know that the not dope gummies, but gummy bears that you can buy for kids? That's like a German word. Like Gummibärchen. And it's like German for gummy bear. Oh. And they originated in Germany.
Oh, that's good.
Are you making that up?
No. Truth.
Okay.
Because earlier we talked about the word sacré bleu.
Sacré. Like, because it came from the cartoon, Bugs Bunny cartoon with Black Jacques Chirac.
Sacré bleu. I love that guy.
French word, sacré bleu.
There are no shark in the trout stream.
Was holy God, you're not supposed to say that. That was a bad thing. So to say sacré bleu is just holy blue instead of holy God.
Oh, be darned. Okay. While the intro was playing and we talked about Greg being a man's man.
We did?
Yeah.
Okay. It did in the intro, yes.
Yeah, okay.
A man's man.
Oh, yeah.
It's
yeah.
a real man's man. You know what a man's man actually, the definition of that is?
Of today's society, yeah.
Well, no. Let's not go down that road, fellas.
It's a man who is more popular and at ease with other men than with women.
Now, see, you could have gone through, there's probably about five or six different definitions you could have pulled up off that phone And
well,
you
this
had to
is
go
not
to
a bad thing, Greg. It's just that, you know, you're one of the guys. You know, you like hanging out with the guys. Now, we're not saying only guys, okay. But, you know, you're comfortable, you know.
As opposed to sitting around and crocheting with the ladies.
Correct. Whatever they do right now.
Okay, here's another version. A man noted or admired for traditionally masculine interest and activities.
Interesting.
Okay, can you live with that one?
That one I'll take.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate going down the list. Speaking of lists, what you
got? If that makes you feel better, Greg. What
Lord.
You got, Rick?
I've got a list.
Talk to me.
I've got a list of foreign phrases that get used in American language and want to know if you actually know what they are.
Okay.
All right, bring it on.
Because one of them was sacre
bleu. Sacre
bleu. Sacre bleu. Laissez-faire.
Laissez-faire.
Oh, that's like carefree.
Yeah.
No, I guess that's not too bad. How about Gott in Himmel?
Gott in Himmel.
I don't even know what you just said.
I don't either.
Gott in Himmel.
I thought you said phrases that are common in English language now.
That's God in heaven. Germans say Gott in Himmel. Achterlieber?
Okay, wait
Achterlieber,
a minute.
Achterlieber, I got that.
Go back to the previous one. I'm 62 years old, and I've never heard anybody in America ever say that term.
I bet you heard that.
And I grew up in a German community,
I bet you heard that old German woman down in Elsa say it.
Achterlieber.
999.
That's all I heard, too.
Okay. What was the next one? Achterlieben.
Achterlieber.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God. It's right. You know, you should tell them about...
I got that from Hogan's Heroes.
You got to tell them about the little German woman. Tell them about your German woman.
Okay. We owned a piece of property in a small town in America. And
By the river.
I got to
Southern Illinois,
and over the backyard fence, you meet your neighbors, right? And so I meet this woman, and she's got a really strong German accent. I said,
Helga,
where are you from originally, Helga? And she tells me she's from Germany, originally from Germany, and moved here.
Like you didn't know that.
And she said that her husband, though, was Austrian. But...
That became German, didn't it?
She said, and did you meet...
Absolutely.
Did you meet Susanna over here at the next house? I said, no. She says, she's German. And then there's...
Fräulein Hilda. Helga.
We ever used Helga, didn't we?
Yeah.
Anna over here. And she's from Germany.
Wow.
I said, no
community.
Kidding. And I said, you know what my last name is? Ringhausen. And she looks at me, gets real serious, says, yeah, you know, the Germans will take over the world yet. I got a little scared, I got to tell you.
When there's three in town, it's not a big town either.
And when exactly did you move here? That would be June of 1945. C'est la vie.
Okay, I can live with that.
C'est la vie. You've heard c'est la vie.
Live and let live.
That's life. That's not too bad.
Okay.
That's not too bad. E pluribus unum.
The land of E pluribus unum. Now, I've heard that from the Wizard of Oz himself say it. Here in the land of E pluribus unum.
And that's also on every dollar bill you've ever
owned.
Yeah,
all for one.
Out of many, one.
Okay, that's pretty close.
It's horseshoes, grenades, whatever.
Sangfroid.
I've never heard that one before.
Sangfroid? I don't think that's not one that rings a bell.
That's cold-bloodedness.
Sangfroid? Okay, never heard it in my life. No. Not even on Hogan's Heroes, man.
That's not good.
Yeah, but that's because you're unread. If you read books, you would see these words.
I just said I listened to Hogan's Heroes, man. Man.
How about,
man's man.
How about bakshish?
Bakshish? No, I've never heard that before either. Where'd you get this bakshish list, man?
That's like that's the word for like a tip in like Persia or the Middle East. They follow around and ask for bakshish. If you'd read Mark Twain's Innocents Abroad, you would have seen the word bakshish.
I read it.
Not good enough.
Whoa.
I didn't memorize it. I read it.
Paterfamilias. I'm the paterfamilias.
Estranged husband.
No.
Okay.
That's pretty good, I guess. So.
It's the father of the family.
Okay.
Dang close.
Paterfamilias, you heard that one.
That was from Old Brother, Where Art Thou?
Yeah.
You know, I saw that movie, but I don't remember that.
I'm the paterfamilias.
I'm the paterfamilias.
I don't remember
it's
that.
The father of the family. All right. Surely you've heard other German or French words. French words roll off the tongue nicely, don't they?
Not mine.
When you go to, if you ever go to France,
I like the sharpness and the roughness of the German guttural language, as opposed to those Romance languages like French and Italian.
Braunschweiger.
Yeah, it's good.
Achtelieber, the Braunschweiger. It's good.
Achtelieber,
that's cool. Liverwurst. Seems to me like you don't need two words for liverwurst. Liverwurst
and Braunschweiger
kind of goes together. Liverwurst.
Didn't you get into a semantic argument over that in college, Rick?
Yeah. I had a roommate. There were like three of us. This is my first time ever living away from home in my entire life. It's like an episode of the Beverly Hillbillies. And apparently, you know, someone's liverwurst got taken there's liverwurst in the fridge. And my other roommate from Maryland was raising heck about it. Oh, he said, the refrigerator stinks up. He said, who put liverwurst in it? I'm sitting there watching TV. I had no idea what he was talking about.
Not me.
Nope. And so he's going around. So nobody put the liverwurst in here. It just like showed up. You know, it's like, I said, you must have got it. I said, I wouldn't buy liverwurst. He said, why would he buy liverwurst and put it in there? It stinks. I said, well, nobody else got it. I mean, how did it get in there? So, you know, he's like storming away. Later on, I go in the kitchen to make myself a Braunschweiger sandwich.
And walk in the room with it.
Walk in the room. He says, you're the one that put the liverwurst in the refrigerator. I said, liverwurst?
Where?
Liverwurst on the bed. I said, this is Braunschweiger.
What's the difference?
Apparently, they're the same thing.
Rick got schooled that day.
On German cold cuts. No, yeah. We didn't have much room for anything.
I had to admit I didn't know something there. That was a harsh day.
Mm-hmm.
You got nailed, man. No, we didn't have much room but for beer. That's about all we had.
Maybe German beer?
About everything's German.
Is there
beer.
Any other kind?
Yeah.
Foster Lager.
Yeah,
that ain't no German beer.
That's Australian.
Oh, can.
That's dingo droppings, that is.
Wow.
Are you at the end of your list, Rick? I see you put it down.
I put it down because you're making fun of me.
I'm going to do that no matter what you do.
Pick something else, Greg. Test us.
Demi Monde?
What is it?
You kind of skipped through this pretty good. Beer Garden. I like that.
Not Beer Garden.
Beer Garden. Yeah.
So that's a German addition to the English language.
Beer Garden?
Beer Garden. So, not only they spell it different, but not enough different that you don't know what it is.
Uh-huh.
So I was on a plane going to the Netherlands, sitting by a guy, and he going to order some drink from the stewardess. And I said, how you say beer in Dutch? He said, beer. Okay, I got it. It's going
to
be easy.
And he turns to the guy next to him and said, stupid American.
No, he told him that. I was the only one in the seat next to him.
I can't believe they won the war.
Yeah. It's going to be a good vacation.
Cordon bleu.
Yeah.
That's a
chicken dish.
Yeah, it's a chicken with
cheese. Cheese and ham in the middle.
Cordon bleu means high quality.
You get out of town.
Really?
It's good quality chicken.
How about
it is good. Get
how
out
about savoir faire?
Ooh, that's a good one.
That's a quality about oneself. savoir faire is everywhere.
Yeah. What is that little French cartoon skunk, yeah, right, yeah, or something like that?
Pepe Le Pen.
Social tact. Savoir faire is social tact.
Sure it is. That's what I said.
I believe everything you say.
How about tit-a-tit?
Tit for tat?
This for that. Here.
Between two people in private.
Aha.
You dumb cough.
Don't be calling me no doom cough. I'll put the blitzkrieg on you, buddy.
Liebchen?
I don't know. It's a term of affection.
Liebchen. My Liebchen is my sweetheart.
Okay.
Well, you guys are doing pretty good. How about a faux pas?
Mistake.
False step. Yeah, mistake. How about l'assimpon et machinan?
You're getting good at French.
That means let's invade Poland.
That should have been in German.
Yeah.
That was in German.
Oh, I thought you were doing it in French.
I did too. Sound more French than German.
Yeah, it did sound more French than German.
Let me try it again.
Comme ci, comme ça.
Lost in finding machine on.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, there you go. Now we're talking.
Let's.
That's better. Wow. So, I guess now we're.
Germans behave themselves now over there, don't they?
We're kind of seasoned internationals now that we know all those things. Yeah, we could go anywhere in the world
now you know how
and be accepted.
Don't you figure that you know enough foreign language words that you could go to pretty much any country and worm your way through it if you had to?
No Asian countries. I haven't watched enough Asian television and movies to know.
You watched those Jiu-Jitsu cartoons when you were a kid, didn't you?
Yeah, but all I know is Sultari. Those were like,
and that's inappropriate.
Yeah, I know. Everything about Jiu-Jitsu was inappropriate.
At the time, there's a lot of inappropriate.
You know, they had the teeth, the glasses, the talk. I mean,
Sultari.
Everything about it was bad.
It's like, who's the actor? Mickey Rooney in Breakfast at Tiffany's. Have you ever seen that?
No.
Watch Breakfast at Tiffany's and look for Mickey Rooney's character if you want to see the most stereotypical Asian ever portrayed on film.
Mickey Rooney was playing an Asian person?
Oh, yeah. With the thick glasses and buck teeth.
You know, I kind of remember that.
The whole schmear.
Really?
Yeah.
No, not seen Breakfast at Tiffany's. I've watched like maybe the first 5 minutes.
Then
maybe
fell asleep.
I thought that's the one thing you and your wife have in common.
That's just a song that you've heard somewhere, Rick.
Woo!
I don't know who does that song either.
Do you know who her husband was that she ran away from in the movie? Who played her husband? Audrey Hepburn, Breakfast Tiffany. Buddy Ebsen.
Really?
Yes, he comes looking.
Say no more.
He comes looking for her. And it's a big surprise that she left him, left the farm in like North Dakota to come live in New York City.
I think I've asked this question before, but you think any Mel Brooks show movies would be able to be made today?
Yeah, sure.
You think? Just saying.
Where's my sensitivity commercial?
I think you need it. That was just amazing, some of the things he got away with.
No, but I think we do have a commercial in here.
All right, read a commercial, Alan.
Sorry.
You got a new sponsor.
Sure. Okay, it says, today's episode, which is, by the way...
Oh, yeah, what is the episode? We're on episode 6.
Wow, we're just climbing the ladder.
That's the bar toe hold.
We'll talk about that in wrestling.
Okay, today's episode is being brought to you by Cannoli's Canine Cough Drops. Do you spend the night? Do you spend night after night covering your ears, listening to your favorite dog gag and cough? Well, suffer no longer. Or more accurately, have your dog suffer no longer. Give Fido one of Cannoli's canine cough drops and watch him quiet right down. Cannoli's come in one of three flavors that dogs love: black cherry, soothing menthol, or baby rabbit. Before you know it, you'll be watching TV in peace while your dog lays at your feet quietly sucking a cannoli. Cannoli's canine cough drops. When your dog's coughing, he's coughing for cannoli.
Oh, that's nice, isn't it?
I have to check into those.
What makes you think that a dog likes menthol?
They've done studies.
Soothing.
And that a dog likes black cherry.
It's their favorite flavor.
And a dog likes baby rabbit flavored cough drops.
Anything.
Okay.
We got these two dachshunds upstairs.
Yeah.
Got these treats for them.
Wow.
That you feed them every day to...
make them happy?
No, it makes their droppings distasteful the way they don't want to eat them.
TMI, man.
So you got a problem with that?
Well, you got to get the dogs to eat them so the treats are flavored nicely so that the dogs lead them, but once they eat them, they become bad tasting.
There's some science in that.
There's some science in that. And I think they're baby rabbit flavored.
There's a lot of things that just ain't right. God. Okay, I had one other question about the studio here, Rick.
Yeah, what about it?
Is that a dirty sock laying over there?
Where?
On that? No, those are clean socks. You slip them over the microphones at the end of the show to keep dust from getting on them.
There's been a sock over this microphone?
Every time.
How do I know if it's clean or not?
Ooh. Alan.
I
eat a treat every day to make sure my feet don't stink. Sue gives them to me.
Scientifically proven.
And they're cool menthol flavored.
Okay. These are not good things. Okay, we're done with our test.
Yeah, kind of.
Foreign phrases.
Yeah,
on foreign phrases.
Noodles the dachshund has allergies, right?
How do you know?
Because he's like sneezing all the time.
Okay.
Like we go on camping trip, he's sneezing.
Okay.
And anyway, I got allergies same time. Sue gives me and the dog the same medicine.
Wow. Scary thought.
What?
Distemper?
How many different meds does your dog take? More than you?
He's got a daily reminder. Plastic carrier too with his poop treats and his allergy tablets.
You just gotta be having a blast around here.
What'd you just say?
This dog's gotta be having a blast around here. Hey,
let's hope he doesn't have a blast.
Well, with what he's being fed, you gotta watch out.
You should see Suzanne come out of the pack room. Who wants a poop treat?
And you both sit up.
I don't.
Okay.
Both those two little dogs will.
Okay, I'm still waiting for any of our listeners to let me know where on the planet I can get peanut butter chocolate milk.
Oh, yeah.
We were
looking
for that
earlier this morning, weren't we?
Yeah.
How about a bon via? A bon via.
It's a good something. Good via.
It's a person who enjoys luxury.
Okay.
I knew that's what you're going for.
Pretty good, Greg.
Hey, is that made by Prairie Farms? Can we say that?
We can say it anytime we want.
Okay, good.
Yes, sir.
Prairie Farm.
Oh, that reminds me. What was the name of the company that had the business plan that you loved that makes...
Oh, Sweetwater Music.
Sweetwater Music.
Yeah.
And have you heard about this, Greg?
No, not at all. Sorry.
Sweetwater Music is a company here, Indiana?
Yeah, I think so.
And they sell, you know, like electronic equipment. But they have a business plan that has impressed Rick. It's left an impression upon him.
Wow.
If I buy, like, let's say I buy a dollar adapter that changes the polarity on a microphone, right? It'll come in the mail in a little box, and everything you order will also come with a little bag of candy. And it's a mixture
now
candy.
Now, that right there alone.
One of them's like a bit of honey and a Tootsie Roll and a roll of Smarties or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, and,
sure.
It's a fantastic collection of little candies. And there'll be like two or three hard ones that you give to your wife or kids.
Dog.
But you eat the good ones and it's fantastic. And then someone will send you an email saying, are you satisfied with your polarity adapter? And then pretty soon someone will call on the phone and say, how's that polarity adapter working?
A live person, not some recorded thing.
Yeah.
That's great. I mean, somebody falling up with a telephone call.
Personal touch.
That's amazing.
Almost gone.
It is gone. There's no.
But pretty much any time I need any bit of electronic doodaddery, always go there because, you know, it's like a Pavlov's dog, man.
Okay.
The bell rings and I get a little bit of honey.
Yeah.
We had air conditioner go out, right?
Yep.
And the company.
We got.
Do I say this for another episode?
Yeah, time for a quick story.
Okay. And the air conditioner goes out and they call the company, the wife does, calls the company, and she tells me, they're going to be there. She's not around. They're going to be there sometime between 12:30 and 4:30. So you have to be there. You cannot, you know, so run you down. You can't. So,
because if that 5 minute window that you dack up to do something else, that will be
right. when they come.
When
by.
They come knocking, nobody's right. home. Let's go.
Next call.
So anyway, and this is at the office where I'm dealing with this. And so I get there at exactly 12:30 to make sure that, you know, they didn't show up early on me. And so I sit and wait, and they don't come, they don't come, they don't come, they don't come. And then about 3 o'clock, Sarah calls and said, have they been there yet? I said, no, they haven't. She says, now don't get upset. She said, we'll give them another half hour, then I'll call their office and see what's going on. And so I wait and wait, and 3:30 comes, and Sarah calls me. She said, now, don't get upset. They forgot about us. And we can do one of two things. She sent a message to the tech to tell him to come on by and that you would wait. Or she said we could reschedule for tomorrow or the next day. I said, well, I'm too busy tomorrow and the next day to go through this again. So I'm already here.
I'm waiting them out.
Let's tell them to send them. And she says, okay. And she calls back on right away and says, they'll be there before 4:30. So I'm waiting and waiting and waiting. 4:30 comes and goes. 4:45, they pull into the driveway.
Drunk?
No, not drunk. But yeah, and Sarah said, now don't take it out on the technician. It's not his fault. He didn't know anything about the scheduling. Don't take it out on him. I said, I'll stay calm. And he pulls up, takes the panel off, and it immediately turns to me and says, has somebody been in here messing with this?
Whoa.
No. He said, you sure? It looks like somebody's been messing with this.
Wow.
And what if I have? What are you going to do about it? Just fix the dang thing.
I get in there and mess with that all the time.
Great business plan.
Yeah. But I wanted it fixed, so I just take it, and I said, well, I'll just leave you to your work, and step away.
Very courageously, yeah.
But I was just dying to just, oh.
Let go.
All the things going through my head.
It's that time.
It's goofball. That time. All right. Well, we'll just say goodnight to episode number 6.
What
all
was
right.
this episode?
It was the bar toe hold.
Okay. And, well, next time we'll talk about the hold.
Okay, fine.
You're going to have to show me that hold. I haven't seen
that'd
that
be
one.
Good.
And
this has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. The Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestler has been brought to you by Uncle Den's Roasters. Tastes just like chicken, but it's not. And by Cannoli's Canine Cough Drops. If your dog is coughing, he's coughing for our cannoli. No portion of today's broadcast may be reproduced without the express written consent of the North American Alligator Wrestling Association. And with that legal in hand, see you later from Greg Gator, Rick Gator, and Alligator. This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Network. Accept no substitutes.